Welcome to the Human Centered Leadership Podcast with me, your host, Colm Hay. I have worked in the leadership space for 3 decades, and now I work with organizations and leaders to develop powerful cultures of high value and performance that is built all around their people. We will interview leaders from around the world and at the very top end of their game to explore what emotional intelligence in practice actually looks like and the benefits that it could bring to any team. This is a movement to transform the way that we see leadership and to create powerful cultures where people feel seen, heard, valued and appreciated, and consequently perform to the very best. Why don't you join the movement and subscribe to our podcast? And don't forget to click on notifications to stay up to date with all new content. Welcome to another episode where I get to speak to incredible people from around the world. And, you know, I try to choose a real good variety of leaders coming onto this program. And today I've got somebody quite special who's done something, well, I think it's very, very inspiring. So today's guest is Zamiha Desai. Zamiha was one of the founders of a professional networking called Professional Asian, and it started on social media. But what she's achieved from 2016 when she set it up to where it is right now is nothing short of mind-blowing. So Zamiha, welcome to our show. It's real great pleasure to have you here. Tell me a bit about Professional Asian. How did that all happen? Why did you create it, and what's the journey been like?
It's been really exciting. So I was working for a big retail company in the head office. And actually, what started first was the women's group recommendation. And I basically, was recommended a gadget for painting a sari that I found was, actually a game changer for me, because I can't pleat my own sari. And also, I mean, I think a lot of women that were born and brought up in the UK, that you know, you want a tie back to the cultural community that you came from. But the other thing is, everything's kind of a little bit fusion now as well. And, you know, the trends are changing. And I mean, like, my mum used to get my sari blouses made, and, you know, she's quite conservative. So, like, the neck would be up here.
I've heard these stories before.
Yeah, and it's not like trendy or sexy or anything. And, you know, go to these weddings and these girls will be wearing like crisscross bats and like one shoulder sari blouses. And it's like, yeah, my mum's not, where do you get those from? My mum's not going to like go to her tailor in like Nairobi or wherever and ask for that for me. And so, I mean, that's basically how it started.
So basically, you're just asking people, where do I get these kind of sari blouses from? Something a bit more trendy. So asking people in your generational group who may have already done it, it started from something as small as that, right?
Yeah, so it was just 200 people, and it was just like, oh, you know, then it was, what's a good lipstick to use? What's a good, like, kitchen surface cleaner to use? Like, what kind of laundry detergent do you use? Like, it's just everyday questions, but from, like, what do your peers do?
Yes.
Because, you know, what, like, your auntie or your mummy or your mum or, you know what they do, or your family. But actually, what does everyone else do? And, you know, do they share? And it just came from that sharing, literally a sharing place. And what I was finding was that a lot of guys were very happy that I started this community, because they were like, you know what, these shelves have been sitting there for 6 months, but, you know, my wife found a handyman on your platform, and, you know, she was recommended by one of the other ladies, and, you know, everything's built now and I haven't had to do anything.
Yeah.
They found new gardeners or, you know, housekeepers and, you know, the threading ladies, you know, like all sorts of different people. And so the guys were grateful, but they're like, well, we want to promote our businesses on your platform. And I was like, you know, it's a ladies' platform, like talking about lipsticks and stuff like that. I just, you know, I don't know if I can do that. They're like, why don't you start a men's one? And I'm like, I'm not a man. Like, I won't know necessarily how to relate to the kind of conversations that you have. And do you have the same kind of conversations that we have? Because some of them, you know, it started evolving into people talking about domestic abuse or fertility, or like some quite like deep, heavy issues, and also, but some quite light, kind of, you know, funny ones. It was a real range. And so Professional Asian kind of made sense because the reason they wanted to be there was to talk about their businesses. And there were so many female entrepreneurs as well, doing different things, doing clothes, doing beauty, doing...
So a lot of, I guess, SMEs by and large were coming onto that platform, and it was growing as a consequence, right?
Yeah, so Professional Asian just felt like the next, like, step in that journey. So I guess it came out of a need of what I'd started already as a community. And I think within the first week, we had about 3,000 members.
Within the first week?
Yeah, like, it was crazy. That's incredible. And now we're at 91,000.
An inspired journey, really. I mean, for me, all of that comes down to one word, relationships, right? So for me, I talk about relationship building all the time. I think it's a critical thing that we need to do as human beings. You know, we are social animals, and in the workplace, it's important that we build relationships. As leaders in the world, we need to build good relationships. So what sort of things have you experienced? You know, if you had a couple of examples, what kind of things have you experienced as a result of people building these relationships online within the group?
The biggest and the nicest thing for me is that they're very open to discussing stuff and helping each other. You know, so if somebody has a problem, you have, like, you know, 20 different solutions to something, whether it's something personal, whether it's something traumatic, whether it's something small, something big. The fact is that people want to share with each other things that they found useful or helpful or advice or recommendations or whatever it is. It's that real kind of peer sharing. For me, it's really heartwarming because a part of me when I started did kind of think, is this going to work? Do people really, like, share that much? Because some people are a little bit possessive. I remember when I got married, I'd gone to a friend's wedding and she'd had this fabulous cake. Yeah. Like, it was so good. It was one of the best cakes that I ever had. And I was like, you know, can you tell me what cake maker you used? And she wouldn't tell me.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, I know. And I was like, well, I get, but you've had your wedding. Everyone's had the cake. Like, why would you not share? Like, that's not my way of being. Right. If somebody says, I like your dress, I'll be like, yeah, it was like, you know, 20 quid at like TK Maxx. And so, like, I'm not shy about sharing, even if it's something that might be a little bit embarrassing or if it's something that's really nice or, you know, whatever. It's like, if I've got it, why shouldn't somebody else have it? So the mentality was different. So I was a little bit worried that maybe people won't share, but I was so wrong because, you know, they share so much and so much value and stuff.
Isn't it incredible, though, Zamiha, that sometimes we don't do things because we sort of prejudge people, don't we? We think, oh, they're not going to do this, or they won't like this. And I find this happens a lot in life where people don't live their lives to their full potential because they think that they're going to get judged by other people. When in actual fact, the reality is that people aren't judging them, or that people do want to share, or people do want to be involved, and people do want to support. Don't you find?
Yeah, and it's really like a story you tell yourself in the head. You're like, you know, what if this? What if they think this? What if they think that? And you're right. It doesn't. The people largely don't think that. And I'm not saying, I think there are always going to be one or two people that judge, but I don't think they're judging you because of you. I think they're judging you because of something that they feel.
So they're sort of projecting their own stuff that's inside their head. Yeah, I get that.
And even if they do, it's like what I say is, these people are not in your day-to-day lives. They don't live with you. They probably don't speak to you very often. You know, they don't text you. They're just people that have got nothing better to do than to talk about other people. And so why are you holding back your whole life because of one or two people that actually are really inconsequential in your life? And yeah, it's not nice hearing, like, bad things that people have said about you. But if they don't know, they don't know the facts, they don't know the situation, they haven't walked in your shoes, really, they've got nothing to...
I think this is a really, really important point that you're making, Zamiha, and you are the expert in this area. You know, you live and breathe social media. That's what your business is. And I think, you know, social media can be such a powerful tool, as you have demonstrated. You know, you can bring communities together, you can get people building relationships, but it can also be a very toxic part of your life, right? Where people who are complete strangers do make judgmental comments, and we see it all the time, don't we? And it impacts on people very adversely. And I think some of the advice that you're giving there is really powerful advice. So if I am, I'll admit, I don't go on social media that much. I used to. I don't so much. I mainly stay on LinkedIn because that's my professional sort of business. And I'll do a bit on Facebook, but I'm not really a social media person anymore. So if there was somebody like me and they said, oh, you know what? I don't want to go on social media because it's just so toxic. People are just judging you. What's your best advice to these people? Because you've obviously had to get through that yourself to create what you've created.
I think if you go with that mindset, then people would judge you because you're already like putting those vibes and that energy out there. So I think you need to go with a mindset that I want to share. I want to help people. I want to, you know, give good advice. I want to, you know, make a difference that's positive. And I think if you go there with that kind of mindset, it's not about your ego. You know, it's not about how popular you are, how many, you know, likes you get, or it's about how is what you're saying on social media, is somebody going to be impacted and create some kind of positive difference in their life or their being or their mindset? Or, you know, what are you going to do? I'm sure you do this podcast because you want people that, you know, are leaders or potential leaders to feel that, you know, they've got support. There's other people that understand them, that they can glean lessons from you and your guests and, you know, or associate somehow with them, you know, be impacted.
Absolutely right.
And I think if you're going with that kind of mindset, I'm going to impact people, that's great. If people don't like what you're saying, that's not a bad thing either. Like, it's publicity is good, you know, negative or positive. But the thing is, if you're talking about a subject that might be a little bit controversial or a little bit Marmite, I think you kind of have to accept that some people are not going to like what you're going to say.
There's a couple of really powerful things that you've said there that, you know, reminds me of some of the things that I talk about. So, you know what? I don't know if you know, but we run a public speaking program as part of what we do. We have people coming on the public speaking program. We do a lot of work on psychology. And there's a couple of things in what you said that really now bounce back to me. One of the things is something called the 95-5 rule. And I can't remember. I really must research this a bit more now. But there was some research out there that said, you know, when you are doing a talk, 5% of the audience, no matter what you do, will not like you. No matter how good you are, they just won't like you. 5% of the audience will love you. No matter how bad you are, they will still love you. But 90% of the audience are the people that you need to be talking to. These are the people that can be swayed, influenced, encouraged, and influenced in some kind of way. And the other thing that you talked about there was ego. And there's a great piece of work that I often talk about, which is done by a guy called Dr. Carl Albrecht, and he calls it the feararchy. He says, look, every single human being has got five supreme fears, and they are the fear of death, the fear of getting hurt, the fear of isolation, the loss of control, autonomy, and the number one fear, or the largest fear, is the fear of being judged, the fear of ego death. You talked about the ego. And he says, you know, a lot of people don't do what they need to do because they fear being judged. Their ego is going to be hurt. And it's understanding that. And we'll understand that in a wholly different language, but it will still sit under that supreme fear. So what you're talking about there is a lot of people, when they are frightened to put something on social media or discouraged in some way, it's because it's their ego getting in the way and they fear that their ego is going to get hurt. And it's almost a tough way to understand it and having to force yourself to look in the mirror and say, actually, I'm part of the problem by not posting, right?
Absolutely. And I think you're right. Some people are always going to not like they might not like your face. It doesn't even matter what comes out of your mouth. But, you know, like I said, you know, that's their issue. But, you know, your job is, you know, to help people and to show those that are interested or potentially could be interested that there's another way to do things. And I think the other thing, which may be slightly related to ego, is that people don't post because they want stuff to be perfect.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
Like maybe that's their own perfectionism or how they want to portray themselves or whatever. But actually, if you're going to wait for everything to be perfect, you're probably never going to get around to it because nothing's perfect. And your idea of perfection is not the same as somebody else's, right? So, you know, and they don't know. They don't know what's perfect to you. So if something's a little bit glitchy, if your, you know, hair isn't quite right and stuff, like how much is it really going to matter? Because your message should be the most important thing that you're delivering. And I think people do procrastinate.
And that's one of the reasons why, you know, when I'm on these podcasts, I dress down. I ordinarily will be wearing a blazer. If I'm going to see clients, I'll ordinarily wear a blazer or a shirt and look quite smart. But on the podcast, because it's conversational, because I want to have a conversation and it should be about, as you say, the message as opposed to what I look like, I dress down. You know, it's about being as comfortable and relaxed as possible. And I think, you know, that gives, sometimes puts us in the most comfort to have the best interviews and the best conversations, right? So talk to me about professional agents. Where is professional agents now? What kind of stuff is coming through professional agents? What's the next step for you?
Wow. Well, those are some pretty big questions. So right now it's a really good space because we have a lot of people asking questions. Like it's a little bit of a Google for Asian people. So a lot of the questions that they have are to do with maybe legacy planning or kind of mortgages or, you know, second incomes or like more passive incomes on that side. And then people are always getting married and, you know, having events. So there's people looking for caterers and makeup artists and clothes and all kinds of stuff as well. So in terms of what it's doing for the business community, it's really providing a lot of, you know, good leads and people looking for stuff that the members can provide. Yeah. So it's good because it's like running B2B, it's running B2C. And in some ways, it's also like the peer-to-peer. So it might not be that they need professionals, they just kind of want opinions or advice on stuff.
It's like creating a safe space as well, right?
I mean, it is a safe space. And it's, you know, obviously the people that advertise with us, like they're known to us. It's not just like randoms and stuff. So, I mean, I think that's a little bit, you know, puts people minds at ease and stuff. And I think it's just become like a little bit of a go-to place if you need something. So some people are literally on it every day and some people just like pop in, like, you know, when they need something or they're looking for something particular. And then we just had our Hey Gorgeous event, which is our in-person event. So while Professional Asian all happens online, Hey Gorgeous is bringing those vendors and the specialists and everything into the real world. And then we had like 108 exhibitors and we probably had about 7,500 people through the door over the weekend.
That's incredible.
Like you can see and you can feel and you can talk to people and you can have that in-person connection with the people that you're buying from. So I'm really happy with where it is right now. I think it's doing well for our members. We've got so much support. We've got Shiv doing like business strategy. We've got Vish doing like social media strategy stuff. So for the members that are in business, we actually have a lot of support behind the scenes on, you know, how they can grow their businesses. We do networking, you know, we're there for advice and everything. So I'm really pleased with it. Where it's going, I think we're concentrating at the moment quite a lot of Instagram at the moment.
Because currently it's all on Facebook, right?
It's good to have like multiple platforms. So we're focusing on showcasing the businesses in there and growing them a little bit on another platform and maybe TikTok later, who knows. And so we're just looking at kind of growth and I've been very, like, there are some things I'm proactive about there, but there's a lot of stuff I've just been a bit more reactive to. I kind of like to test and see, rather than just go full on with, you know, one strategy and, like, not really know. So it's a little bit of an iterative process with me.
I like that, yeah. Different people do it different ways. And I'm a bit more like yourself, you know, where intuition plays a large part of what I do. So just talking about your journey, you created recommendations to start off with. Then we went into professional Asians to include men as well, which has now exploded into 91,500. What has that meant for Zamiha? Because you must have evolved an awful lot. What have you learned since 2016? You know, it's like 8 years now. What have you learned in that time about you, about business, about relationships, about people? What is it that's been like the nuggets of gold for you?
So, I mean, before I started, I was, you know, always in a corporate job, or a media job. I started in media, actually, and then went corporate. And so running my own business was not something that I had envisaged ever in my life. So it, like, in terms of jumping in at the deep end, it was like a bit crazy. I think the most important thing I've probably learned, especially the last couple of years, is how important collaboration is and how important working together can really raise so much, like your profile, your energy, your, you know, the people that you communicate with, the number of people you can communicate with and the number of people you can impact, because, you know, you've got your network and other people have got their networks and, you know, there's a lot of like cross-pollination that can happen as well. And so even if you're like in the same or similar space, it doesn't really matter that much. You would get so hung up on, oh, but, you know, they're my competitor and they're this and they're that. But I think you go down the high street these days, there's a Tesco's, there's a Waitrose, there's probably an Asda nearby.
And people make informed choices. People either gravitate towards one business or another.
But they'll shop at all of them according to what they want, you know. And these businesses are even smaller. So there's no reason why I wouldn't go to multiple clothes vendors to buy clothes. I wouldn't go back to one all of the time. You know, I'd go to different people. And I think that, you know, when you realize that you're not the only one, but actually the power of all of you together, like Hey Gorgeous, for example, we have about 20 clothes vendors. You know, they're not, we do place them so that they're like further apart and they're not too close to each other. But ultimately, you know, people will buy from 2, 3, 4 of them. And so I think it's so important to really think about, well, if I'm not collaborating with someone because I'm scared of the competition, what am I actually giving up for myself?
I had a conversation yesterday, Zamiha, about these two key things with somebody yesterday. And we both came to the conclusion that the reason why people don't collaborate as much as perhaps we should do, because I genuinely believe that the future is about collaboration. It is about connection. It is about communication. But the reason why we don't do that is because from the moment we are born, from the moment we can understand other people, we are taught competition. We're taught to compete in schools. We're even taught to compete against our own siblings sometimes. We're taught to compete in colleges and universities and even in the workplace, you know. And even now when you switch the TV on, there are so many reality programs, aren't there, out there that are all about competition. So we have this competitive mindset all the time. So constantly we're living in this state of fear, I guess, that other people might steal something from us or they might beat us at something. And I don't think that's a really healthy place to be in, is it?
It's not. And I think every single business, every single leader, every single employee, what they've got is they are them. You are unique.
And nobody can imitate that.
Nobody can imitate that. They can try, but they will fail because they won't be able to either keep it up or what I like to think is my ego coming in, is that, you know, we're constantly innovating. We're like, yeah, different ideas, different strategies, different ways of working with people, different, you know, events that we put on, different ways of, you know, helping our members. And I think if you're the leader in whatever you do, like the front runner, and you're the one innovating, everybody else is always going to be trying to catch up. But they're never going to be you.
They'll never be where you are right now, because you're always going to be steps ahead of people because you're innovating, you're disrupting all the time, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure we're all innovating in our own way, and we might be going in different directions. So we're still not copying.
Yeah.
But anyone that's just, you know, copying you all the time is never going to be ahead of you. You need to forge your own path and be your... like, compete with yourself, compete with what you did yesterday, compete with what you did last year, and raise the bar for what you can deliver, and just really ignore everybody else and work with them instead.
I mean, that's what they call the growth mindset. Growth mindset is that you aim to be a bit better than you were yesterday. And if you do that every single day, by the end of the year, you're a hell of a lot better than the person that you were a year ago. You know, some people call it the compound effect and so forth and so on. Simon Sinek's written a really good book on this called The Infinite Mind. And I think that's the alternative option that we have to competition. And collaboration, as you've pointed out, is so critically important in today's world, I think.
And forging partnerships and just being like present for each other, I think it makes such a difference. And it's definitely made a difference to my community. And I think the other thing is, like, I'm not sure how much you know, like, but on a personal level, 16 months ago, I lost my husband.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Thank you. So that was, you know, he actually encouraged me from the beginning, and he was like such a big instrumental part of me being able to do what I do now. And, you know, to lose him was obviously like a huge... personal loss.
Oh, of course, must be.
A huge blow. Like, it was, you know, not something that I'd anticipated or I was prepared for and stuff. But actually, what I learned is that the community really, like, had my back.
Yeah.
You know, I had the most amazing messages, the amount of messages I got, the amount of support I got from the community. And, you know, I just felt like everybody really cared. And I was very open about my journey, because I think this is one of the things that I really wanted to do with, particularly with recommendation, is just talk about things that weren't talked about, because the taboos and the, like you said, the judgment and things like adoption and all that kind of stuff. Like, we need to talk about it. You know, we need to talk about the uncomfortable stuff, because we need to normalize it so that people can get out of their heads and actually get and do something about it, because they're comfortable talking about it.
While ever you're not talking about something, you're not doing anything about that. Right. And you're right. You're absolutely right about normalizing the uncomfortable conversations that need to be had. And often what we find in Asian communities is that they get so entrenched in dogma and doctrine and traditions, cultural traditions. And sometimes, you know, they don't actually help us to move forward.
Yeah.
To me, I want to say absolutely, you know, congratulations on everything that you've achieved. I do think that you've opened, you know, a lot of hearts and minds for people. You've given opportunities to people to share, to become come together as community. There's so many leadership lessons in what we've talked about now. And thank you so much for sharing your pain with us as well about losing your husband. I had no idea. And I think that's going to give you even more strength to do even more great work.
No, thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please do subscribe and click on notifications for new content. And of course, connect with me on LinkedIn. Take care. Have a great day.